Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome to No BS Bishop. I'm Randy Dean. I'm a bishop, and I intend to cut the BS because I am alive to love, and I'm challenging you to join me to be alive to love. All other pursuits, all other values are less. All other values are potentially BS. So what we ought to be about is love. Love alone constructed us, and love alone will complete us. Remember that. Love alone constructed us, and love alone will complete us. Thank you for the honor of your time. I'm going to give you about 25, 26 minutes of my heart and my thoughts today. I am focused in this last season of my life. I'm 66, headed for 100, and in this last season of my life, I want to be sure that I leave the legacy of unpacking and discussing and challenging you to be lovers, to be loved and to love, to be loved and to love and to be loved, to give love all the opportunity it deserves in this life, so that as all of us, whatever season of life we're in, we're exploring the beauty of love. Every baby born is looking for love because that baby needs mama and daddy. Every child that grows up is looking for love because they need five adults. We are told by researchers every child needs five adults significant in their life who will train them and teach them, influence them toward a productive, fruitful, and beautiful life. Every child needs loving adults. Every adolescent, every teenager is out there screaming for love. You know, we adults are way too ready to criticize a younger generation rather than cheering them on. I'm not of the persuasion that youngsters, whether they are millennials or whatever other label we put on a younger generation, I'm not of the persuasion that they're worse than any other generation. That's hooey, hooey. Hooey, I say. I'm a baby boomer, and I know that when I was a teenager, I was an unruly, arrogant, pompous little boy, but I'm so thankful that there were some people who trusted me and loved me and gave me opportunities to rise up out of my teenage soup. So I believe that every younger generation just needs love. They just need somebody show up and say, hey, I love you, no matter what it is you're doing. Every young adult is looking for love. They're looking for love, as the old country song used to say, looking for love in all the wrong places. But the reason we're looking in all the wrong places is we are looking, we're searching, we're knocking on doors, we're turning every door handle, we're looking in every eye, we're bugging people, we're saying things just to see if there's love out there. Then as we go into our young adult life and middle age life, we're looking for love. You know that. And onward we go. All of life is about being constructed by love and completed by love. So today I'm going to give you four priorities, four items of contemplative view about love, making sure that you know that as I'm here to unpack the subject of being alive to love, then I'm not just BSing you. Hey, see how I segued that? Right back to my title of this broadcast. There's no BS here. I'm talking to you about what is of the greatest and highest value in life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love abide. These three things abide, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. As far as I'm concerned, faith and hope are anchored alone by love. Love holds faith and hope in their proper position. Without love, faith is nothing. Without love, hope is just optimism. And optimism ain't bad, but it's not everything it could be without love being the anchor. So let me talk to you about these four values that when we live for love, here's what I believe our life will be about. So let's dive into it. Number one, when we live for love, when love is the guiding point, the true north of who we are, we become contagious. We are contagious. We will draw people to us by the sheer nature of the attraction of love. When you say, I love you to people, when you act, I love you to people, when you are behaving in a loving manner toward people, whether they know it or not, they're drawn to you. They will come your way. They will arrive at your doorstep one way or the other. They're coming at you because they know that their life is made for love and they're looking for love. So if all of us are looking for love, we are, then let's be lovers so that we're not sending people out to look for love in all the wrong places. Let's give them a true north to be drawn to. Let love be the thing that is the attraction in your life, that you are a lover of life, a lover of people, a lover of activities that, you know, no matter what it is. We're in the dead of winter here in Wisconsin right now. Well, why not just love winter? Yeah, I know. It kicks us in the butt. But let's cut the BS. Let's quit just living for complaint. Let's live for something higher than complaining and whining. Let's be alive to love. Now, don't hear that wrong. I'm not saying I've never whined in my life. I am saying that I have, and I have discovered that it's not a great place to live. So there you go. Let's become contagious by being lovers, living life for love. Alive to love will make you contagious. When we live for love, the second thing is that will happen with us is it will be ready for action. So let me spend a few minutes on this more than the first one, and that is ready for action, meaning that when I see problems in my world, whether they are local, in my home, or if they're in my family, or they're translocal, they're regional, they're out beyond me, I view problems as a place for my action. I reach for solutions, not just complaining. When I'm a lover, I will be ready for action in every level of my life. So whether it's a racial challenge, whether it's the political challenges of our day, oh my. United States of America, we had better wake up quickly to being alive for love, because we are tearing each other apart. And love alone is the solution. As far as I'm concerned, I love the fact that we've painted ourselves into a partisanship corner, because at this point, we're going to have to decide to love or we're going to perish. Martin Luther King Jr. said once upon a time, either we'll learn to live together as brothers, or we will perish together as fools. So may we rise above foolishness and be ready for action through being alive to love. Ready for action means that if I don't understand a problem, I'm going to apply myself to understanding. Love means that I will understand things outside my own personal opinion. Yeah, hear that. Beyond my opinion. Yes, there is a world beyond your opinion, and it's not an alien world. There are people with other opinions other than yours, sweetheart. Mine, my opinion, hey, Randy, little boy, sweetheart, your opinion is not the only opinion on the planet. Your opinion, whoever you are out there, your opinion's not the only one on the planet. Other people have ideas. Love teaches us to listen, to absorb, to empathetic, to be people of more listening than talking. To be ready for action means I am going to act out of love, listen to other ideas, and learn. One of the values I live by is that I don't ever want to stop learning. I've viewed my own personal life as being a path of growth. Every stage. I don't want to be static. I don't want to live this season of my life in the protection of my previous seasons of life. That's a surefire way to grow crusty and cornered and angry and trying to protect old values at the expense of anything that might be new and better and improved. Somebody said, boy, they don't make cars like they used to. Well, I agree. They make them better now. I know we've had our ups and downs with automobile manufacturing and engineering, But I am so glad we don't make cars like we used to. And I'm a big fan of old cars. I had a great old 66 Chevy Impala in college. And I tell you what, I love that car. But I don't want another Chevy Impala because I love, well, I won't fill in the blank with what I drive now, because I don't want somebody to be put off by the fact that I'm a Toyota lover. Uh-oh, I think I just said it. There I go. I just challenged you to love me in spite of whether you like Toyotas or not. My point is this. Keep growing. Don't be static or protective of the past. Be ready for action, but act forward, not backward. Be contagious is the number one thing that'll happen when you live for love. And number two, be ready for action. Number three, when we are alive to love, we'll reach for relationships. Relationships are tricky. You know that. Relationships are dangerous. You know that. Relationships are problematic. Somebody might say, oh, I'm just tired of people. I just don't want to get into another conundrum with another group of people. I've heard this all my life as a pastor. Oh, church, there's just a full of a bunch of people. Well, Walmart's full of people, but you still go there. You know, a gas station's full of people, but you got to stop in there once in a while. Everywhere you go on the planet, there's 7 billion people. What we need to learn is that unless we are alive to love, we'll see people as the problem and not the potential of our own life. I said earlier that researchers have taught us that children, all children, formative years, 0 to 4 and then beyond into their high school experience, they all need 5 significant adults in their life to give them positive values for the future, to be a productive, fruitful human being. 5 adults need to be present in a child's life to love them forward. Well, Randy Dean's little research value here, and it's just me, it's just my own little Gallup poll, my Randy Dean poll, is that we all, adults, need at least 5 people in our life that we are related to, we're reaching into their life, who are speaking into us, who keep us grounded. They keep us aware. They keep us positive. They call us when we're, you know, whether we're down or up. They just give us a shout. They give us a call. We reach for relationships when we're alive for love. When we're not alive for love, we're looking to go off the grid. Now, I will tell you that there have been many, many moments in my life where I enjoyed going off the grid. And if you don't know what that means, it's just finding a little shack or a little cabin in the woods and get off the grid, get away from TV, radio, computers, telephones, anything that connects you to the outside world, and take a break. That sounds pretty nice to me. But at the end of that season of being off the grid, Your insides are going to start crying for relationships. And if you distort that, if you crush that, if you shove that instinct away and down, you bend your life toward an abnormal bend. It is not the normative value of human beings to be unrelated permanently. Yeah, we all need a break now and then, but listen, being a lone ranger is not all it's cracked up to be. By the way, even the lone ranger had Tonto. Even the lone ranger needed a sidekick. We all need continuing, healthy, happy relationships. And being alive to love will instinctively draw you into outside relationships. And another part of that is to be related to people that are outside of your normal scope of reference. That's a beautiful thing. It's not something to avoid. If you're a Republican, find a Democrat to be related to. If you're a Democrat, find a Republican to be related to. If you're Catholic, find a Protestant to be related to. If you're a Protestant, find a Catholic to be related to. If you're whatever you are, Don't stay in your little circle or circumference of influence, or you'll never really grow to your full potential. Learning about life through other people is one of the reasons we're on the planet. One of the reasons we're eating and sleeping and drawing calories is to be alive to love, which means I'm reaching for relationships. And it also means I'll reach for relationships that are outside my normal scope of reference. There's nothing more I enjoy than to go somewhere, to go to church, for instance, in a place I've never been. It rattles my little securities. It rattles all my undue protective nature. It gives me the chance to listen to something I've never heard before. It stirs up my curiosity. I have been my whole life just instinctively, because love has been a value that I've been just very honored and blessed and privileged to be given. My family taught me, either positive or negative, they taught me to be alive to love, because everything else is just BS. And what I have always done is, somehow or another, I've reached for something beyond my ordinary. You know, I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I went through the public school system here in Wisconsin. But guess where I went to college? In Texas. I drove across the nation to go to school. My dad was a Texan, so I had a natural curiosity about Texas. And to my great joy, I found a beautiful, brilliant, powerful, lovely lady by the name of Ginger in Texas. And I have been forever blessed to have the perimeters of my life expanded by my Dixie chick, my Texas lady, who has taught me something about life that I couldn't have learned any other way. And after 45 years, she'll tell you, she's still trying to train me. She's still trying to raise me. And I'm a happy participant in that partnership. Reaching for relationships means I'm reaching not only for people I know and love and trust, but I reach outside my normal scope of reference so that I will continue to grow. I'm going to say one last thing about that, because I'm coming in on the end of the broadcast. But one last thing. So when I hear church folks talking about unity, I pay attention to that, because that's a great ideal. That's a great goal. But when we talk about church unity in the reference of just our little local church, we're missing the bigger picture. Or if we're talking about church unity when it relates to, hey, let's all be in unity together. Well, that's a nice aspiration, but you should be unified with something beyond your Lutheran training and your Lutheran understanding. When I see charismatics or Pentecostals or Baptists or whoever they are talking about church unity, and then they only join with folks that are just like them, well, that's not unity, that's uniformity. We need to be unified in the church body of Christ with people who don't look like us, talk like us, act like us, believe like us, so that we are all challenged to grow and get better. So when we're alive for love, alive to love, number one, we become contagious. We'll attract people. Number two, we'll be ready for action. We don't look at any problem in this world without seeing love as the solution. Number three, we will reach for relationships. We won't avoid them. We'll reach for relationships and keep expanding that reach. And number four, my favorite really, we will learn and practice doing small things with great love. That's from a quote by Mother Teresa. She said, and this is a lady who did historic things, left a legacy that would leave any of us absolutely, absolutely floored at the value that she built in this life. Mother Teresa said, none of us can do great things. All we can do is small things with great love. None of us do great things, but all of us can do small things with great love. Whatever the small thing is you do, do it with great love. Can I be really, really, really basic with you? Okay, thank you for giving me permission. I saw somebody in my imagination shaking their head yes. So, you know, here's one. It seems a little crass, but it's practical. I hear men complain all the time. Well, my wife complains, or my girlfriend complains, or women complain about leaving the lid up on the toilet. Well, if she wants the lid down, she can put the lid down. And the competition goes on and on and on. Ad nauseum. Why not do a small thing in love, gentlemen? Just put the lid down in love. There you have it. That's about as basic and small as you can get. But beyond that, there are a million little things every one of us can do in love. There are so many opportunities every day to do a small thing in love. If you see some trash on the street, don't grumble and gripe and moan about how lazy people are. Just reach out and love your community and pick up some trash. Put it in a trash can. That's one thing. Open a door for anybody, everybody, everywhere. Don't just pass the opportunity to love somebody by opening a door. Love them. Be somebody of extraordinary kindness in small things. Greet one another. Look people in the eye. Smile. Be a contagious person, like I said in this first part of this, but also practice small items every day so that in every small thing, you do it in love. I know some of you can relate to this, that if I borrow a tool, if I borrow a tractor, a lawnmower, a weed eater, or whatever it is, and it's full of gas, well, I will return that machinery full of gas because I want the person who loaned it to me to know I really appreciate that. That's a small thing in love. But another thing I recognize is that everything I touch, every stock item in a grocery store, every shopping cart in a Walmart, every place in a waiting line is my moment to practice and do something small out of great love. None of us can do great things, but we can all do small things in great love. And that will lead to, I believe, a revolution that our world is hungry for. Our world is starving for this revolution of being alive to love. That's why I have focused the rest of my days on the subject of love. I heard somebody one time a couple of years ago, they said, well, you know, I hear you talking about love, but don't you have something else in the hopper? Well, yeah, I got a lot of things, but everything takes me right back to love. I don't know how to get anywhere else in life but to talk about love. I don't know how to talk about finances. I don't know how to talk about church politics. I don't know how to talk about secular politics. I don't know how to talk about writing because I'm a writer. I don't know how to talk about anything except I'm going to get back to talking about love. Everything in life has its connection to and its construction by love. Either you're loving what you're doing or you're just slaving at something that's killing you on the inside. Be alive to love. And when we are alive to love, four things happen. Number one, we become contagious. People want to be around you. Number two, we're ready for action. We don't hear a problem on the news. We don't see some group of people doing something goofy without finding it in our hearts to love and to act out of love. Number three, we will reach for relationships. And remember what I said, reach beyond your scope of normal reference. Get outside your comfort zone. Come on, baby. Join me in the love revolution and find yourself risking yourself by loving the unusual and the strange. And number four, when we are alive to love, we'll learn and practice doing small things with great love, making sure that the world that I live in is left in better shape than what I've found it, that no matter how the small deed I do may restore something back to the way I found it, then I'm going to do that in love, to see to it that the planet, that my workplace, my car, anything I have, I'm going to do my level best to restore stuff back to the way I found it so that people will know somebody was here that was loving. Somebody was on this, at this stage, at this post of command, and they were loving. Well, there you have it. Today's No BS Bishop has been about being alive to love and the four things that are going to cook up in your life if you will give yourself to the daily, small practice of love at every level. I do believe that everybody listening to me is in a place of need. I'm convinced that more people listening to me now are desperate than ever before. Somebody out there is feeling depression that's just closing in on you, maybe because of the winter season. Some of you are facing utter catastrophic family issues or catastrophic financial issues or catastrophic career issues. There are people listening to me right now who you wonder if you'll ever again experience love. And I'm at this post of command right now to tell you that you're listening to a voice that loves you. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. I know we have listeners from literally around the nation and maybe even around the world. But I'm here to tell you that I'm alive to love you. And that's why I'm saying these words to you right now. So in this last minute of this broadcast, listen to me, whoever you are, as you are hanging on for dear life, you are loved. You are greatly loved. The great wide expanse of God and the expansive galaxy size pressure of his love is all around you. And while you may not feel it, all you need to do is to say, I accept it. I want your love. And as you listen to my voice, I want you to hear me say, as I am metaphorically looking you right in the eye and say, I love you. Now go be alive to love. And whatever else you do, be a lover of life. Thanks for joining today. I appreciate the honor of your time. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I have not been here to BS you. I have been here to love you, to see to it that you had somebody who said, I love you. I'm alive to love. Come join me. Let's live life for love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.